How many ears did he put on your head? Two. How many mouths did he put on your head? One. It's probably telling us that we need to listen twice as much as we talk. Just the way God created us.
Welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Let me ask you this. When challenges come your way, what is your first tendency? Do you respond with anger, cynicism, moodiness, fearfulness? Your first response is what Pastor Wayne calls your default system. And even though as Christians we've been born again, sometimes it takes time for our default systems to change. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Training My Heart.
We're going to talk about the trainer of our hearts. I mean, what's your tendency when you're faced with a challenge? Are you impulsive? Are you fearful? Are you moody? Are you angry, defensive? What's your first tendency when you're faced with a challenge, your first reaction? Is it unworthy, victimized, defensive, blaming? What's yours? You know, mine, I think, was well characterized by this little story, and it goes like this. It says, an elderly woman traveling by bus had a layover during her journey. So she purchased a package of Oreo cookies from a vending machine in the bus terminal and then located a table. She placed her cookies on the table, sat down, and proceeded to read her newspaper. Now she was joined by a young man, to her surprise, opened the package of Oreo cookies and began to eat them. The woman, saying nothing but just giving him sort of an icy stare, grabbed one of the cookies and ate it. The young man kind of looked at her and smiled, and then he proceeds to eat another cookie. The woman again glared, and she grabbed a cookie. The young man finished the third cookie and then offered the last one to the lady. She was appalled. Well, she grabbed the cookie, and the young man smiled and said, "Have a nice day," and left. Outraged, the woman threw down her paper, only to find her unopened Oreo cookies on the table in front of her. I thought, that's just like me. What's your first tendency when things happen? I mean, you can't prepare for them. What's your tendency? Do you get mad? Do you just say, it's not my fault? Not my fault. Whatever happened, not my fault. Do you just say, well, whatever? Or are you impulsive to make conclusions which only works against you? As was the story of two Porigi guys. They're hunting on Molokai. And so they're out there hunting, and then one falls to the ground and seems not to be breathing. His eyeballs have rolled to the back of his head. So quickly, the first dials 911 on his cell phone and yells, "Help! I think my friend is dead!" Hoping to calm the caller, the operator says, "Just take it easy. I can help." "First," she said, "are you sure that your friend is dead?" Silence. The operator hears a loud bang, and the Porigi comes back on the phone. "Okay, now I'm sure. Now what?" Some of you just getting it now, yeah? This is my favorite section, Porigi section right here. What's your first tendency when faced with a challenge? Impulsive, defensive, doubting, cynical? Now, a lot of times our sort of default system, when things come up, our knee-jerk reaction, our firstlings of what we do or think, that a lot of times comes from our upbringing. Maybe you were corrected harshly, so you have a tendency to be defensive or you blame others. Or maybe you were made to feel stupid when you did something wrong, so you deny, you kind of do an end run, or you just get angry and you become someone that's punitive or someone that's pugnacious or fighter. You start to want to punch, you get angry. See, the thing is, when we come to Christ as Christians, you change, but you know what a lot of us do, and I do, is we bring into this new life a baggage full of old tendencies. And our outside changes, because we learn to be nice in church and say the right words, and we look like, act like, smell like Christians. But on the inside, our default is still unchanged. Because when something happens, oh man, I got to be Christian today. Okay, all right, all right. And you know, I was thinking, Lord, is there ever going to be a time where you so change me so deeply that even my default system changes, so that one day my first response will be like your response would be. My first words would be your words. My first thoughts will be like your thoughts. Is there ever going to be a time, God, when you touch my life so deeply that I change on the inside? Paul the Apostle went through this dilemma in Romans chapter 7. He said, oh man, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Things I don't want to say, I say. The things I want to say, I don't. He says, who will free me from this wretchedness? How many of you feel kind of wretched sometimes in the same way where our default is wrong? Yeah, our first tendency. Now, we can kind of rewind the reel a little bit and kind of bring it back after our first tendency and our first reaction. And we sort of get that right. But by the time that happens, we've already done damage. We have to make amends. Lord, can you just get me that place, Lord? Can you get me there? Lord, is there a way? Can I take a conference, a seminar, a pill, anything? Well, God says, yes, I can. At the top of our notes, let's take a look at how we can meet, and let me introduce you to the trainer of our hearts. Let's read at the top of our notes. And when you see the word hind, it's like a deer. So that's the word for a deer. Let's read it together. Go. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Would you circle the word he and underline trains my hands for battle? You see, God's saying, I'll make you like hinds' feet. I'll put you on the high places where you want to be. And I'll train your hands for battle so that you can bend a bow of bronze. In other words, to get you up there, I've got to train you. Otherwise, you'll die a third of the way up, fourth of the way up. You won't be able to make it. Do you want to? I'll get you up there. I'll get you up there, but I'll train you to the point where your arms can bend a bow of bronze. And I thought, man, a bow of bronze? I don't know if you know that much about archery, but long ago I used to have a fiberglass bow. It was a 90-pound bow. And that bugger was hard to pull back. It took a lot of strength. And now they have compound bows with cams and pulleys, so they can have up to like a 300-pound pull. But in those days, it was just like one bow and string and a 90-pound bow. You had to really pull back. And I thought, if that takes a lot of effort for a fiberglass bow, what do you think about this? He trains my arms to bend a bow of what? Bronze. Try that. And I looked at that and I thought, man, that dude is no slouch. If he can bend a bow of bronze, that guy, he's been trained. He's got some strength. And then the Lord said, that's right. In order to get you to where you want to be, I will be one who will train your hands for battle until your arms can bend a bow of bronze. And I thought, what? You're going to train me to get up there? Why don't you just kind of whoop and put me there? Forget the in-between stuff. No, because you see, what God is saying is this. Sometimes we want God to be our blesser, but we don't want him to be our trainer. We want God to be our genie. We don't want him to be our coach. We want God to defer to us. We don't want him to discipline us. But God is saying, you won't be where you want to be if you don't let me train you. Because I just don't put you up there by helicopter. I train you. Because if you just get put up there, or I just say, go, you will die halfway up. You won't have the strength. But the way I can get you up is, would you let me be the trainer of your heart? To train you until it's natural. And then it's like a hind, you just kind of deer, just boop, 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 boop. You're up there. It looks so simple. Have you seen athletes that do things that seem so natural? They just seem so natural. Like a Tiger Woods, when he goes whack like that, it just seems so natural. And that ball, 300 yards down the fairway. Or a tennis player, when they slam that thing, it's like so easy. Or a singer that's trained his or her vocal cords, when they hit a certain note or a trill, you think, man, that was effortless. Well, where did they get that effortlessness from being so unnatural and straining to that which is so natural? It's so easy. How did she get there from here? Well, what's in between from being unnatural to natural? What's in between? A whole lot of what? Training. And God says, if you'll let me, I will be the trainer of your heart, because we need to change the default system until it becomes something natural. And in between, take some training. And I'll be that. I'll be the trainer for you. Yeah, but God, I just want you to bless me. Just bless me. I will. But the blessing comes in a different package that you might imagine sometimes. Let's read in Acts chapter 3 and you'll see what I mean. Let's read it. Go. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. How? In turning away every one of you from your... You know how God blesses us sometimes? By pruning us and getting rid of old things that have impeded us along the way. Things of slothfulness or undisciplinedness. He has to train so that we can have a heart like his. And it's not unnatural, it's natural. It's natural. It's easy. There's an ease to it. And so God is going to say, I'm going to work on you. Now, a lot of times it's easy for us to see the tendencies that are bad in other people. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about God training, not my wife or my kids or you or him, but God training us. Got it? All right. Because sometimes it's easy to see the faults in others. And when the same thing is in you. I remember some time ago, we were taking up an offering to start a ministry in downtown Hilo. About 3 weeks later, a man came up to me and he kind of sauntered up to me and he said, you know, when you guys took that offering not a week for a kind of ministry. I said, yeah. He said, I want you to know I gave $500. I said, wow, that's really good. And he said, you know what I think you should do? I said, what? You should put our names on a banner up around the sanctuary, how much we gave. I said, no, really? He said, yeah, if you like us to give more money, you better make sure that our names are up there so people can see. I said, oh, thanks, I'll think about that. And I walked away. I said, you greedy bugger, you. And then just that afternoon, my assistant came to me and said, hey, Wayne, the church down the road wanted to have me ask you if you would speak at their Christmas banquet this year. First thing out of my mouth, I said, how much are they going to pay? Oh, no, what am I doing? Oh, now that was stupid. I said, I didn't say that. He said, oh, no, no problem. I said, oh, man. Because you see, your first tendency, if your default hasn't changed, you're just as greedy as anybody else. You just learn how to cover it more religiously than everybody else. But underneath, the default is still unchanged. So, God, is there ever a time where my guts will change, the default changes, so that there's a naturalness about the flow of my life, so that the firstling of my heart will be your heart. The first tendency will be your words and your eyes. Lord, is there ever going to be a way that you can change my default system? Otherwise, I'll be wrestling and fighting with myself all the time. The Lord said, yeah, if you let me train you. So let me give you three disciplines, there's three training regimens that God's going to work in our lives, but we've got to cooperate with him in every one of these. And the first is this, would you write, here's the first one, he says, number one, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Because I said, if you watch certain athletes, there will be a regimen of disciplines that even when they're in high school and now they're in the NBA, there's a certain regimen of disciplines they don't shortcut. They don't compromise. It is a daily lifestyle thing. Certain amount of sit-ups or free throws or three-pointers that they shoot. Or if you take a look at others, that there's certain things that they will do again and again, and they won't shortcut those because they know that even though they're doing 50 three-pointers, they know that they've got to get this training right here from that which is unnatural to it becoming just natural. Because in the heat of the game, when the hecklers are there and the people are punching and pushing, this has to be the most natural thing. And it comes only with that much training. And they know that back here, there's certain disciplines that they have to do in order for it to be natural here. Otherwise, it'll be unnatural here, unnatural there, because we don't have any of this discipline or training in the middle. And God is saying, Wayne, I'll train your heart so that your heart lives out my life naturally and not unnaturally. It won't be a contrived religious thing. Oh, Lord, that's where I want to get to. Good. Then we're going to have to do some disciplines and a daily thing. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. If you shortcut it in the heat of the game, you'll miss. I remember in high school, I used to play on the basketball team of my high school. So you can see it was a very small high school and a very bad basketball team. All right, get that out of the way. All right, but I remember after the practices, the coach would yell to us, hey, you guys make sure that you do 5 laps around the outside of the court and 25 free throws before you go home. And then he'd go off and do his paperwork. Okay, coach. So we'd start running, and if he's not looking, we'd cut across the court in half court, you know, run. And we watch him, we cut across, and we kind of shortcut it. And then when it comes time for free throws, right, 25 free throws, we start with 20. And so we shortcut 21, and we shortcut all of these things. But that's the reason why in the third quarter, I die in the third quarter. They got to pull me out under the bench and stick oxygen tubes up my nose. And in the free throw, when the people are heckling me, I get all buckled up and I shoot and it goes like over the backboard. Why? And I blame the hecklers. It's because of them. Tell them, shut up. You see, we blame everybody else, but really it's back here where I shortcutted the disciplines of life. So when the heat of the game hits, it's unnatural for me to shoot free throws or to keep going when the going gets tough. It's because I have somehow shortcutted it. Let me give you one basic discipline that we're often quick to ignore, but we must not. We must not. And would you write it in? Keep a daily quiet time with Jesus. A daily quiet time with Jesus. Because you've got to be taking time to be still and hear. Because during the day, we're talking all the time to friends, to people, to peers, to employers, employees, coworkers. We're talking all the time. But there's got to be a time where we discipline our lives to be still and know that He is God. And let Him speak to us for a change. And that's why when you're reading God's Word, when you're reading what? God's Word. If it's God's Word and you're reading it, who's speaking? God. Who's listening? Me. So what's happening is God's Word is starting to fill my life by me listening. But often we just want to talk to God. We've got this litany of things. God, do this, promote me, give me more, raise this, do this, give me, and I want to meet her. And that's it. God bless you. Goodbye. And then off we go. And the Lord is saying, no, stop. There needs to be a discipline of life where you just listen and then journal what I'm saying to you so that you can apply it to your life. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes says. Let's read it in the New Living Testament. It gets right to the point. So let's read Ecclesiastes 5:1 in the New Living. Go. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth. Yeah, kind of brash on that one. But that's what it's saying. When you come before the presence of the Lord, it's better to just be still and listen, a daily quiet time. I mean, if you just think about it, you look at the way God created you, you know, about listening versus talking. You know, how many ears did He put on your head? 2. How many mouths did He put on your head? 1. It's probably telling us that we need to listen twice as much as we talk. Just the way God created us. He gave us 2 eyes and 1 mouth. We should observe twice as much as we talk. And so it's almost as if the Lord is saying, discipline yourself in a daily quiet time to listen to what He's saying as you read the Word And then journal, write down what he's saying so that you can apply it to your life. And he's saying, don't shortcut that. You can. But when the heat of the game hits, you'll die in the third quarter. And you'll choke when you get heckled. And you'll miss every time. Well, it's because they heckled me. No, because we did shortcuts on the disciplines to get us to the mountaintop. I will not only be your blessor, I will be your trainer so that you can bend the bow of bronze. Because the heat of the battle will happen. And when you're there, I want your natural response to be the heart of God. I will change your default, but I will be your trainer and your coach. Now you say, Wayne, you always talk about devotions. Every time you talk, you say something about devotions. Uh-huh, and I'm going to do it until you die. You know where I learned that from? Peter, the apostle. Let's read what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1. Go. I plan to keep on reminding you of these things, even though you already... Yeah, see, Peter told me to tell you that. Just keep reminding them. Keep reminding them. How many of you would honestly say that sometimes I need to be reminded? Would you raise your hand? How many of you say, I need to be reminded? Yeah, we all do. So that's exactly what'll happen. Now, one of the cool things is this. When you read God's word and it starts to fill up the reservoir of your heart, God's word is not dead. It is what? Alive. So if God's word is alive in you, it's going to talk to you. It's not dead. It's alive. In fact, it's alive and active. And if you can pack up God's word in your heart, listen, you don't need someone supervising you, correcting you, pushing you, turning you, holding you accountable, evaluating you, because God's word will actually be discipling you. I put it this way. Would you write into that little bullet there? Because you're having a daily quiet time with the Lord and the word of God is in you, you can actually, would you write it down, disciple yourself. Disciple yourself. I know the Holy Spirit's doing it and using the resource of the word of God. But there's like a self-discipling that takes place because God's word isn't inactive, it's active. Let's read this next verse. Go. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. If God's word is alive and active, it's like it's talking to me. No, it's not dead. It's not static. It's talking to me because the word of God is what again? Alive. So it's talking to me. And you'd be surprised. You start checking out some chick you're not supposed to check out and you'll hear something go, hey, knock it off. Whoa, okay. Whoa, all right. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just like a self-correcting thing on the inside. God's word will be speaking to you, guiding you, directing you, giving you wisdom, insight. When you're thinking the wrong thing, he'll speak to you. How would that happen? The Holy Spirit. Let's read the next one. Go. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. Listen, and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Yeah. What God said to you, he brings back to remembrance. So one of the things God is saying is, don't shortcut the disciplines of life. Otherwise, when you hit the third quarter, you die. And you'll never make it to the top. You'll falter halfway up. And when the heckling starts and the impedances start and those that come against you start, you'll buckle and you'll blame them. But it's the disciplines of life that you shortcutted. So let me be the trainer of your heart so that it'll be natural in your responses when the heat is on. The first thing is, he says, I want to be the trainer of your heart, so you must discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. But along the way, we're going to make some mistakes. We sure will. We'll get arrogant, get greedy. We kind of make mistakes. That's why the Lord says the second training regimen is, would you write down, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's what 1 Peter 5:6 says. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may, and let's read this last part, go, that he may exalt you at the proper time. In other words, God is saying is if you'll learn to humble yourself and make a self-correction along the way, at the right time, at the proper time, I will have you there. But one of the things you've got to factor in is a self-correcting regimen.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Training My Heart by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll bring you part two of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.